Saints, maybe we could start with 1226. I don't know if we have a piano player, but we can go a cappella. Oh, the Church of Christ is glorious, and we are part of it.
Oh, the Church of Christ is glorious, and we are part of it. We're so happy that the Lord has made us one. There's a body in the universe, and we belong to it. Hallelujah, for the Lord has made us one. Hallelujah, for the body. We are members of the body. We are holy for the body. Hallelujah, for the Lord has made us one. Not as individual Christians, but a corporate entity. God must have it for his full expression now. Not just individual churches, but the body corporately. Hallelujah, we are in the body now. Hallelujah for the body. Satan trembles at the body. We're victorious in the body. Hallelujah, we are in the body now. There are seven golden lampstands in the nature all divine, but the natural does the body life allow. When we're one and share God's nature, how the lampstand then does shine. Hallelujah, it is brightly shining now. Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord, saints. Amen. So good to be gathered together again. We've been having a meeting similar to this for about a little over 10 years, and it's just a time of encouragement and enjoyment and a time for the Lord to release whatever is on his heart, particularly for this age group. In times past, it's been the young adults, which we've done away with, and even the young working saints has more or less been done away with. We go to the ministry, and Brother Lee gave messages to the working saints. And so this is just a gathering of the working saints, no age specifically, but anyone who feels they're a working saint and anyone burdened for the working saints is welcome to come. A lot of the burden of the church life does fall on this group, and I'll share a bit, but the first thing that Brother Lee shared to this group is that we need to enjoy the Lord. I'll read this quick paragraph. It says, "This is a training for the working brothers and sisters. When I was seeking before the Lord on your behalf, I felt that if the working brothers and sisters were to adequately and properly participate in the church life, they need to receive the life supply continuously. What we need is not so much to do something or bear burdens. What we need mainly is to receive the life supply." Another point he made a few pages later, he says, "We have to realize that all of our problems occur because our union with the Lord is broken." So, saints, we need to maintain our organic union with the Lord. Only based upon our receiving the life and life supply can we go on to do anything with or for the Lord. Later in this book, it's not until chapter 6, he refers to this group as the backbone of the Lord's recovery. Now, I was considering what that means, even from a medical perspective. The backbone is not necessary to maintain the life. It's not the heart, it's not the lungs, it's not even the kidneys. It's just the core structure of the body. It's not even the hearing or seeing or speaking organ, but it is necessary and vital for the movement of the body. It is where the strength and power for any movement of the body comes from. If you throw your back out, you have a pinched nerve or a pinched disc, you're pretty much bedbound until you recover. So in a similar way, we need to speak. We need to hear, we need to see, but maybe the mainstay focus of the backbone is to bear the burdens and to move for the Lord on the earth today. So I just appreciated the function of the backbone in the body is to bear the burdens and to enable the body to move. On that note, we may be given to give, but if this group doesn't give, then who will give? You know, if this group doesn't pray, then who will pray? If we don't go, then who will go? So these matters, they really rest on our shoulders to take the lead. And let's say we go somewhere. Well, then we're not just content just to be there, but we're there with an open home. We're there taking care of young people, taking care of new ones, supporting the college campus, supporting whatever labor is happening in the locality where we're functioning and supporting the work there. So I appreciated that this matter of the backbone really rests on us to be those to rise up and sort of support and enable the Lord to keep moving today. Today it was going to be a little different. Instead of having sort of open testimonies because of time constraints and a number of issues, we're going to have a number of saints who either volunteered or were volunteered to come and give a testimony to sort of get a sense and a feeling for a lot of what the Lord has been doing in this region. Some are serving, some are working and yet laboring on a campus. They've given some time out of their schedules to labor in that way because there's no job dropping full-timers per se. So we'd like to have a number of those saints testify. Each will have about 3 to 4 minutes, and then we'll have the brothers share a little more. But just so you know, that'll be the sort of the format today, that we'll have these saints share with us more or less in a general way what's been going on in this region. So if those saints could maybe come up and line up here, while they're coming up, I'll give a little testimony about what I've been experiencing. I've recently moved to Lubbock, Texas, 2 years ago. My name is David Cuthbertson. And before that, I was in residency in Houston. And Houston's a very large locality, and my wife and I had a very strong sense that we needed to, after residency, leave. And so we took our vacations to go basically visit cities on the GTCA list. So we went to Olympia, Washington, Virginia Beach, Virginia, and these are beautiful locations. We weren't exactly suffering. We went to this region, Charlotte. We saw Raleigh-Durham. We went to Conway, Arkansas, and a few places in Texas. And then we ended up landing. The last place we visited was Lubbock, Texas. It's dry. It's a big old dust bowl, and they grow cotton there, and that's about all there is in Lubbock, Texas. But there's a campus there, and it's a little oasis. It's a big fishing pond. And so we were just burdened by the Lord. We ended up moving there. And some things about Lubbock, it's very slow. It's almost the antithesis of San Francisco. Very slow pace of life. Everyone is extraordinarily friendly. They'll go out of their way to hold doors for you and talk to you, and it's genuine. And people love to talk about Jesus. And we love to oblige them. And so it's very easy. Even me with my patients, I can always talk about the Lord. They even bring up the Lord in conversations. And so it's a very, the soil is fertile for the Lord to do something there. Even with my accountant the other day, he said, you know what we need? We need the Lord to come back. I said, amen. He told me this. I just agreed. So these are the interactions, you know, the person I know at the bank, he wants to come to the meeting. He's tired of Christianity. He calls it a cult. I said, well, I've got the place for you if you're tired of that. Some people in our neighborhood. But even with all these community saints, the college students, even moreover, are just sort of, they grew up in this environment of a preserved sort of southern way, if you will, of living, which is based on the Bible. And so to reap these fruit is almost too easy. It's almost unfair. Because they love the Bible, they've just never read it. So all you do is read the Bible with them and explain it to them, and their eyes are just opened. It's a wonderful experience. In the church, there was probably about 30 saints in our age group, maybe 10 older saints, and then another 10 or so serving on the team. And so it's been a very blessed endeavor. We have our home open Monday for our coordination for our home meeting at 9 o'clock when everyone can come. And then Wednesday, we have the prayer meeting of the church a little early so that everyone can be available for the ministry meeting on campus, for the campus labor. And then Thursday, we have the students over at our home at 7:30. We had to move that back an hour because they all had classes, so we were just flexible to meet with them. And then every other Lord's Day morning, we have a group of sisters over at our house before the meeting for breakfast. And then you make sure they get to the meeting if you have them for breakfast. So that's the advantage there. But it's been a really sweet experience. Lubbock is probably the southern tip of this whole Midwestern region, or this whole sort of heartland region that is relatively untouched by the recovery, and for which there's a big burden. And we're here to sort of support and encourage that burden today. So we've really enjoyed our time there in a small locality, and it has really brought out our function. In a bigger locality, there's a tendency, or at least the possibility, to hide and just sort of be carried along by the older saints. But when you're in a smaller, younger locality, it's really on you to support what the Lord is doing there. So anyways, go ahead, brothers.
So my name is Brother David Yao from the church in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, which is about 2.5 hours from here. When Brother John Paul asked me to do a testimony, he mentioned the main burdens of this time. It is overwhelming, right? He mentioned first burden, the matter of migration, a matter of the campus, and also matter of bearing responsibility. I thought to the Lord, Lord Jesus, how can I fellowship with the saints? As I was before the Lord, a picture came to mind. It's a picture of Solomon's temple. In front of it, there are two pillars. One pillar is called Jachin. The other one is Boaz. So let me just share a little bit of my testimony for moving to this small locality. So it's about 5.5 years ago, John Paul and I, we're a couple months apart. We moved to this small locality called Chapel Hill. At that time, it was a GPCA city. It was a new locality with a neighboring locality, Raleigh. It was about 150 to 200 saints. But this locality only had about 20-something saints. No meeting hall, small campus work. So at that time, I told myself, Lord, you know, I've just finished my training. I give myself for Christ and the church. I give myself for your building. So I come here for your testimony. As I would go here, as I've been here for the last 5.5 years, you know what I realize? What is the constitution of the pillar? The constitution of the pillar is bronze. It is God's judgment. I'll tell you the most revealing thing I ever encountered, more than my training, more than my work, is the coordination of the brothers. When you're under the coordination of the brothers, it's like the seven eyes, looking within, looking without. It's like the seven spirits burning in you. So I realize I am under God's judgment, not for sin, but how much I am under my natural disposition, how much I trust myself, my view of things. But what helped me was two statements, which I'll share with you. One is the first year I was there was a conference. Brother Ron was sharing. I think he quoted Brother Nee. It never touched me before until that time, saying that the Lord does not desire for us to work for him, but for him to work himself into us. So at that time, I wanted to work for the Lord. I am for the Lord's recovery. I wanted to build up the church. We want to build up the campus work. We open our home for the saints. But the Lord wanted to work himself into me. And the second statement I'll share with you is that when I was about 10 years ago, when I had that chance to go to Russia for the gospel trip, I asked one of the saints serving there, how can you serve there? One thing they mentioned to me, which really touched me during this time, was that you realize your strength is short, but then you come to the Lord. The Lord supplies you with abundant grace. And at this point, you keep the saints in your hearts. And that is how you gradually bear responsibility. So the second point about the pillar I enjoy on the top of the Capitol were what? The lilies and the pomegranates, right? The lilies, the sign of faith, living a life of faith, and the pomegranates is the riches of the divine life. So, you know, we all should live, this is our Christian life, right? On the one hand, the bronze signifies not I, but on the other hand, the lily and the pomegranates signify but Christ, right? This is a life we should live. But you know what is the setting by which the pomegranates and lilies are in? It's the chain work and the checker work. Those are the settings. You know, I don't know about you. I want to live a nice life. I want to live a life in Christ, but I don't want complications. I don't want difficulties. But I'll tell you, when I first went to Chapel Hill, it was just my wife and I. We love the Lord. We go to every conference. We go to every training. We just give ourselves to the Lord. We have our home meeting at our house. And then the Lord blesses us with one child and with a second child. And now the second one is the terrible two-face. Oh, Lord Jesus. My wife can't even be in this meeting because of the complicated nap schedule. Oh, what limitation. What checker work. So, like many of you, I ask, how do you balance your busy home life, church life, family life? You know, the key is not to balance it, but to give it all to the Lord. To looking to the Lord like a lily, right? Living a life of faith. I want to give you a couple practical examples. For example, my son forgot there's such thing as called daylight savings time. So instead of waking at 5 o'clock in the morning, which is early, he wakes up at 4 for the last couple weeks. So as we come to the Lord, we are tired. We are frustrated. But he supplies. He becomes our rest and our peace. Or sometimes, you know, when the preschooler had to be sent home early, and then we are frantically trying to find childcare. At that point, when you turn to the Lord, becomes our comfort. He becomes the one who arranges all things. And then sometimes in my job, it's so stressful, right? And you come to the Lord, he becomes a river of peace. Right? Or sometimes situations that you're so complicated, is knots upon knots, you have no idea how to untie. When you come to the Lord, he becomes a river of wisdom. So as our brother have fellowshiped with us, and I'll share with you, that the Lord is the river of living water. Whatever we need, he is. So all we need to do is come to him. So my prayer for me, for everyone, is that we would live this life. Live a life of not I, but Christ for the church life. May the Lord constitute many of us as his pillars in each locality.
My name is Shepherd Toe, and I'm from the church in Piscataway, New Jersey. I'm serving there full-time. But intrinsically, I feel I am the same as all the job-keeping full-timers. I've been there for a long time, other than the 2 years in California for the full-time training. And the way that the situation is very unique. When people ask me, oh, is there a team? I have to kind of explain the situation because I'm the only one who's serving full-time in a job-dropping way. But I am so blessed to be able to coordinate with a lot of saints who are there with their jobs. And so the situation there is that at Rutgers University, it's the state university, we have about over 40 college students who grew up in the church life in New Jersey. There are a total of 10 localities. And besides that, of course, we have all the ones we've contacted on the campus. And so on our name list, we could look at about 60 names, those who are, in a wide spectrum that have a lot of needs and a lot of shepherding. And so our coordination is very sweet. I find myself just praying with this one couple who have their own business. And they are able to come to the meeting hall several times during the week. In the past couple years, brothers who are able to work from home, they also join me and we fellowship. We also coordinate at night in the evenings to pray and to consider and to fellowship. And so the labor there is really borne a lot by the saints who are working. And growing up there, actually, the real patterns are the brothers and sisters who are above us. They are the, 50, 60-year-olds. And you know that in New Jersey, many, many of the saints who live there, who bear the testimony there, actually, they work in New York City. And so there is a price to pay. That is, you have to commute about an hour one way. And a lot of the jobs are demanding. A lot of the saints, they're in the financial sector. And so I just remember one particular occasion. This was at the end of a prayer meeting, and we were about to leave. And I noticed this sister who works in the city. She works in banking, and she started to cook. And I asked her, "It's already 10 o'clock. Why are you cooking?" And she told me, "Well, I don't have time to cook tomorrow, and we're having saints over, and so I'm going to cook tonight." And so here we have a working sister. She has kids, but she's burdened. She's burdened for the campus. She's burdened for the saints. She's burdened for the students. She's burdened to have her home open. And so the price is that she would cook at 10 p.m. so that she would have food, because when she comes home the next night, she doesn't have time to cook. And so I just feel really privileged to be able to serve in such a way with a group of saints. Ultimately, intrinsically, we go through the same challenges. We have children, we have wives, but we're all here living to the Lord. We're all here actually serving full time, whether job dropping, job keeping, it's actually all the same. We're here living to the Lord. So I just praise the Lord that through all this fellowship that we could all be raised up to be those who bear the burden of the Lord together.
Praise the Lord, saints. We're Scott and Jean Aiken from the church in Richmond, Virginia.
Scott and I, we took the opportunity to consecrate ourselves as a couple in a Chinese prophetic training in Plano, Texas in 2008. And I remember Brother Andrew Yu shared that his generation has been run a relay race, and it's our turn to take the baton. And he asked us if we were willing to continue the race. And also he numbered those of us who are willing, just like in the book of Numbers, to be the Lord's army. And he also asked us if we were willing to consecrate our next 5 years to the Lord. I really thank the Lord that I seized the opportunity to be numbered to continue the race, and also consecrate my next 5 years to the Lord then. And I believe due to our consecration, the Lord started to do things, and the Lord brought Scott to FTTA, and then gave us our first son Benjamin when he was in the first turn. And then after that, he brought me to the FTTA one turn later, and then and it was during our training the burden for GTCA was released. So after we graduated, we need to decide where we should live our church life. So we knew that there were many needs outside of California. And we were open to the Lord's leading. So we start from California. We travel around the country for 40 days to visit different size of localities. And then during our trip, the Lord brought us to visit several GTCA cities. And during that time, we had many fellowship with those serving ones. And we saw that there was a great need in the East. So after much fellowship with the leading brothers and my vital companion and the Lord, then we decided to move to Virginia, eventually to Richmond. So brothers and sisters, we really are nothing, but But we saw the Lord's needs, and then we just take the opportunity to consecrate ourselves and cooperate with the Lord. So we are in our 40s, but you're still young. So it's your turn to rise up and take the baton and run the race.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. So my burden here is concerning the practical side of migration. And there's no one way to migrate, but I just wanted to share our experience and how the Lord moved us. So we were in California. I grew up in California. And once we made the decision to migrate, the Lord really took care of us in so many different ways. At the time, all we had to our names was a little two-door car, a two-year-old, and nothing else. No house, no job. So the Lord released a pickup truck for us. And we took everything that we could to fill into that pickup truck. And everything that wouldn't fit, we gave away to the saints. We put our car in a trailer, and we just drove out to Virginia. A brother had offered us 2 months of hospitality so that we could get our bearings and see where the Lord would place us. So we had no destination. We just had this brother's home. We had no job. We had no house lined up. We didn't even know if we were going to be in Richmond. But the Lord really took care of us. Within a month of the time at that brother's home, the Lord released a rental home for us in Richmond. And after we moved in there, we had no furniture, but through the saints' offerings and through Craigslist free section, the Lord fully furnished our house. And even over the course of some time there, I was able to find some contract work, also through Craigslist, so it's very practical. And it was very sweet that first year. So after that year, the Lord even found us a home. And this is not a large home. It's a little fixer-upper in even a lowly neighborhood, nothing special. But the Lord has been so sweet. We don't concern ourselves with the schools. Are they good or they're not? We homeschool. I do contract work, so I don't have a job that ties me down. And this frees us up, so we have the freedom to seek the Lord's leading. The Lord sent us to Germany for 3 months, and the Lord sent us to Taiwan for half a year so that we could give our children an opportunity to experience the education system there. So praise the Lord. We just seek a simple, lowly life. So a little bit about the church life in Richmond. This is a GTCA city. In 2011, and right now there's about 20 saints and 10 or more children. It's quite a young church life. And the church life is so sweet. We don't have any elders. It's just a few of us brothers just fellowshipping and following the Lord's leading. We all have to serve on just about everything. College work, young people, children, taking care of the saints. So it's really a sweet church life. A lot of coordination, a lot of seeking the Lord's leading. And we've learned so much. Even just recently, we learned how to purchase a property for the church, how to set up tax-exempt status for the church, just all these practical things that you don't get to experience in a large church life. So praise the Lord that there are these small church lives out there. And we just urge you, saints, to take the Lord's leading, to migrate, to join in this kind of experience.
Hi, everyone. My name is Janet. I'm with my husband here, and we currently meet in the church in New York City. So a bit of background about myself. I'm from Vancouver, and I was serving on the campus full time. But then I got married, and I moved to New York City to be with my husband, and now I'm working full time. So a year after living in New York City, we started meeting a new district. It's a new district, and most of the saints there, they're not fluent in English, and they speak a language which I'm not good at. And so it was really hard, and it was a really difficult transition. I remember looking to the Lord a lot of times, how can I go on in this locality, which they don't really speak English a lot. They just speak this language I'm not good at. But I just want to echo about, the previous messages I was spoken on about the needing to be open to the Lord. There are times we feel like the Lord just reached a limit and we can't go on anymore. We feel like, he just overdid it and we can't go on. But at that point, when we feel like all things are so impossible, all things are possible with God. And so at that point, it was so sovereign that I met this couple who also, they were testifying that they moved to a country And they picked up a new language there, and they got to know the saints. And at that age, which they moved to this new country, it was the age which they're set for retirement. But they decided they had the burden to move to this country and pick up this totally different language, and they were there for years. And so the Lord really spoke to me, realizing how much I need to be open to Him. You know, we always talk about the body of Christ, the reality of the body of Christ, but if we don't allow the Lord to make His home in our heart, how much can the reality of the body of Christ be to us? And so at that point, I realized, you know, my husband and I, we realized we need to get to know the saints. It doesn't matter how different we are. Doesn't matter, you know, even though I'm not good at this language, I want to learn. And so we started visiting these saints. We started to get to know them and, you know, got to know not only is the language a barrier, but also their economic status, their education. Everything is so different. But, you know, in all those visitations, it was honestly a very humbling experience in realizing there's so much depth in these saints, so much riches in them, that if we don't visit them, we never know their hidden portion. And so I just want to say that there was this verse that's been in me. It's in the Old Testament. It's here God is comforting. He's offering a word of encouragement, a word of comfort to the children of Israel. And He says, "Indeed, I am doing a new thing. It will now spring forth. Do you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert." And this verse is from Isaiah 43:19. And that verse just really touched me in showing that the Lord wants to do a new thing within each one of us. You know, He doesn't want us to be old. And there are times when we feel like our church life is like a desert. You know, we may be moved to a different locality, different place, and the saints just don't match us. Doesn't match our natural preferences. But the Lord wants us to be blendable. And when you're blendable in that situation, there's rivers in that situation, rivers in the desert. So the Lord is making a way. So I'm just really touched during this past week. Just want to echo that wherever we are, wherever the Lord placed us, strive to be blendable. We're not there to do a large work. We're not there to save the saints or anything in an outward way, but we just want to be blended with them. We want to get to know them. And my prayer is, Lord, make me open wherever I am. Make me flexible wherever I am. So, you know, praise the Lord for the blending.
So about a year ago, we started, as my wife said, oh, my name is Peter. We started a new district in Brooklyn. Brooklyn already had a district. We expanded to another district in South Brooklyn. And one day I was on my way home from work. I'm an accountant. I work in Manhattan, live in Brooklyn, and I was commuting home, and I was reading a ministry book my brother had recommended me from the training and practice of the vital groups. And in this book, Brother Lee gives us the way to be vital. Brothers and sisters, do you have the desire to be vital? There is a way. And he says in the way, point number one, is to be stirred up in the first love for the Lord through repenting prayers. And the second point is to make a thorough confession to the Lord. And so I was on my way home and I saw these two points, and I just stopped there because I couldn't help, but I just felt like the Lord asked me a question, and He just said, "Peter, do you mean business with me?" And I told the Lord, "Lord, I do mean business with you." And the Lord said, "If you mean business with me, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to repent to be a vital person?" And I said, "Yes, Lord, I'm willing to be that way." So on that commute home, I was just praying, repenting prayers and making a confession. You know, saints, I can only share with you my experience, right? And the Lord touched me. You need to, after you're vital, you need to go out and you need to visit the saints. You need to know what the saints and how the saints are doing. And we were in this new situation, as my wife brought out, and, you know, there are some saints in our district, and they don't know how to read. It's like if you didn't know how to, as if you don't recognize the letter B or C in an English word. It's like that. And so there are all these saints of varying levels, education, economic status, social, whatever. And I just thought, well, we have to get to know these saints, because we can't be someone who's in front of the saints and the saints don't know us, right? Don't know who we are. And in this new situation, you just realize that there were these distinctions between myself and the other members. There are distinctions of language, of culture, of age, of every level. And so my wife and I shared this burden on visitation with my wife, and we decided, you know what? We're working, but you know what's one thing we working saints can do? We can go visit. We can visit the saints. And one of the banners in the church in New York City from last year was recovery. How do we recover the saints or the trainees who haven't been meeting for a long time? And the key, and one thing we learned from Taiwan, is we have to go visit. Because if the saints are not coming out, saints, we have to leave our comfort zone. And so I realized, all right, on Monday night, after I get home from work, after my commute and before the brothers' coronation, I have an hour and a half to go preach the gospel. So since I told the Lord, Lord, I consecrate my time to you, I mean business with you, I will spend that hour and a half and I will bring a brother with me and we will go preach the gospel. So there I am with my heavy work bag, with my laptop, and I'm just there in the streets happily preaching the gospel with this other brother. And as I'm preaching the gospel with this brother, oh, saints, I want to encourage you. You have a deposit in you. And when you go out to visit, when you go out to contact people, the deposit in you will come out. And the Lord really blessed our going out. And then on Tuesday night, I had also more time, so I would go on the gospel again with another brother to get to know the saints. And then on Friday nights, my wife and I, we would go visit different families, different saints, just getting to know them. Saints, you know, I feel like it doesn't matter if you're a job dropping, job keeping. It doesn't really matter. We live to the Lord with our time. We can all visit the saints. Oh, we just need a dealing. We all need to go to the Lord. And I think the Lord will lead each one of us to function and find our place in the church life.
Well, praise the Lord. We're Tim and Joanna Adkins from the church in Knoxville.
Amen.
We have migrated more than once. And just considering our background, you know, I grew up in Southern California. Hearing about the trench that had to be dug out from Southern California. And, you know, in Long Beach, you know, we had Brother Howard, who encouraged the saints in 98, you know, before he passed away in 98, to migrate. And so I remember as a college student hearing that fellowship, and then being in Irvine, my wife and I got married in 99, right after I graduated from college, and we always had a feeling, you know, maybe it'd be good to go to other places in the country to be movable and just see, you know, what the Lord would have for us. So we did finally migrate out of Southern California in 2009. And went to Austin, and we were there for 7 years, and we learned just to go and be with the saints and go along with what the Lord was doing in the place we were. We've learned a lot of lessons, I would say, just in terms of going along and being blendable and learning to enter into what the Lord does wherever you go. Migrating is not necessarily easy. Right, it's not necessarily comfortable, but there's a lot of grace, right, to go. If the Lord is leading you to go, our experience is if there's a way and you can go, then there's so much to gain from migrating. And from Austin, we moved in 2016, so this is 2.5 years ago, after fellowship and more fellowship and consideration. We were looking around and considering the different GTCA cities. We visited different places, Conway, Arkansas, and Fort Collins, and different places. And we really felt the leading to go to Knoxville in 16. And so we uprooted again, and our four young children at the time, and went across the country again from Austin to Knoxville. And have been there for 2.5 years, and it's been very wonderful. And you know, I think a couple of small testimonies. You know, we were definitely bearing responsibilities in both localities before our migrations, but when we've moved, we look back and we realize the Lord really rises up and meets the need. Mm-hmm. And there were other saints that entered into function where we were. Yeah. And so, you know, sometimes there might be a thought that, you know, there's too much going on where I am. Well, if there's enough fellowship and there's a way, then the Lord rises up to meet the need, mm-hmm. right? Actually, there were saints that were even brought more into function when we migrated.
Yeah.
So it was really, I think, positive looking back. And, I mean, I would also testify, you know, all the localities we've been in, Irvine and Anaheim, we were in Irvine for 7 years, Anaheim for 7 years, Austin for 7 years. Every time we go back and visit, it's like we never left.
Yeah.
Right? You go back to be with the saints where you were with, and you know, the building is eternal. Mm-hmm. Right? So go ahead, Michelle.
Well, I just wanted to throw in a little tidbit. Yeah, we have four kids, and so we moved from Anaheim when the oldest was 6 and the youngest was 3 months to Austin. And then, of course, like you said, about 2.5 years ago, we moved from Austin to Knoxville. And each time, I know moms worry about this. Will my children be okay? They have such a good school, or they have these wonderful friends, or whatever their circumstance, mm-hmm. or I'm near my parents. But, you know, the Lord really takes care of you, and they take care of your children. And our children have friends along the way. They have all their friends still in California, even though they were young. Every time we've gone back, we've kept in contact. The saints, the friends in Austin, and, of course, all the new friends they're making in the Southeast, and actually that's where I grew up. So I'm like, you're becoming friends with my friends' children. And so it's really neat. And we just took them back to Austin for the Summer School of Truth this last summer, and they were reunited with all their friends. And it was so encouraging just to see them with all their companions, and they thoroughly enjoy it. Now they have companions all over the country, and they know them from every which way. So it's mm-hmm. been, the Lord's really cared for them, and that's comforting to a parent, and you know that they're going to be okay as well.
So we've had, you know, just going from California to Texas and then the Southeast, it's kind of three different areas of the country. And along the way, you know, of course, you see the commonalities, and you see that, you know, people are people. And one I think thing for sure is we have a heart that's much more broadened toward humanity, and you realize the Lord is after people, right? And so you know, the region of the country we're in, there are people everywhere, mostly from Christian backgrounds, and so we're learning how to just be with people,
mm-hmm.
and how to have a heart for them and bring the Lord to them in a way that that you know really allows them to be shepherded, right, and even just have fellowship with people. So in Knoxville today, maybe I'll just share a little bit about, you know, the situation. When we moved there, there were maybe, I'm going to say maybe 35 or 40 saints when mm-hmm. we moved there. That's about double that now. We're pushing, you know, 90 or so with kids, maybe 100. And so there's definitely been a lot of, you know, growth, a lot of even further migrations in. And we have, of course, when we moved there around that same time, the campus work started. So again, we just entered in, okay, there's a campus work here, let's participate. We have, I work full time, my wife is with the kids full time, and our home is open. We have, every Friday morning, we have the full timers in our home. We have Monday nights and some other times during the week as well, we'll have college students over. And just, you know, it's kind of a, you know, in a way, it's a meeting that it allows them to have a time in the home. It's not necessarily the church life to them yet, but they're getting a taste, right? It's an opening. And so we're very busy with work, with family, with the church life, learning to bear responsibility in Knoxville with the brothers there in the lead. And it's marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
It's really wonderful. And I feel at this point, you know, the current speaking about the reality is so timely because, you know, we need to be what the students or any new context would enter into whatever we are. So,
right. So
our burden is just to be attached and knit and built up with the saints.
Amen.
That we would be the reality. And the students have no, they have to enter into that, right?
Right.
And so we're not there to necessarily do a work, right?
No.
We're just there to be and be vital and be related to the saints that the Lord has placed us with and let the Lord add together whoever he would from whatever direction.
Amen.
So anyway, that's our testimony.
Amen.
Amen.
So I'm Leo, and this is Emily Rogers, my wife. And so we just wanted to share a little bit about our experience of kind of moving within the church in Atlanta down to the campus at Georgia Tech. And for a while, we were both serving full-time, and then we got married. She came to Atlanta, and we were living by the hall because we'd sort of built up the campus work there around the meeting hall, even though that was sort of a long journey to Georgia Tech, Georgia State. And while that worked, we had a lot of young full-timers, not many married, you know, so it worked for a while. I could see the day when it wouldn't work, right, when I got married and started to have kids and different schedules. And anyway, there was just more of a burden when we got married to be closer to the campus. And the brothers also had the same burden. They bought a campus house near the campus. And the player coach, Vern Smathers, and his wife moved there. And then we felt, you know, we should follow. And it didn't, you know, it wasn't that inviting of a place to move to at the time, especially compared to what it looks like now. But, you know, but we just resolved to do the Lord's will. And we just felt like because we were resolving to do the Lord's will, he would just open the doors, right? And so, you know, to move downtown from where we were, it was more expensive. You were going to get a smaller, older place, if any place. So it was there was just a lot of challenges, right? And my wife had the desire to go to grad school, and so we ended up moving into family housing for a year and then started our family. And then the Lord opened up a house that almost fit our budget, just a little bit more. You know, right there next to the campus after that first year in family housing. And we just felt like the Lord was leading us to be there, you know. And so it was still just a couple families. And, you know, we started to pray a lot that the Lord would move more families, more saints would pick up the burden, right, to resolve to do the Lord's will and to be closer to the campus. So over time, we just saw more and more families, you know, move in. And so now there's actually a good number of families down there and serving saints. And anyway, we're just enjoying the last few years. The brothers formed a district. And so we've been meeting on campus with a Lord's Day morning meeting, prophesying meeting, video meeting, prayer meeting, and just enjoying kind of a house-to-house, day-by-day church life there in Home Park. But I just wanted to say that, you know, in Zechariah, it says, do not despise the day of small things. And so a lot of times the Lord's leading is this way. It's just small, right? It's just, will you follow the Lord? You know what I mean? To take this small step. I mean, it may seem big, but it is really small, you know? And but as you take that step with the Lord and in the fellowship, then you just see the blessing, the doors open that need to be open, you know, the mountains moved. So praise the Lord. You know, we're still there. Now we have four kids and there's other families down there with as many kids. So, you know, they have some companions, and anyway, we're just enjoying the church life there. And
yeah, and one thing one older brother shared with us kind of early in our married life that really, I think, helped us is he just said a lot of times when we think of migration, we think of going to Europe, going to Germany, or even going to GTCA cities, which is, you know, as others have testified, that's very necessary. And the Lord needs many of us to do that. But he also shared there's also such a thing as a mini-migration. What about just moving within your own locality, but move closer to a campus? Mm-hmm. You know, your kids don't even have to change school districts, but you just move so that your family life and your church life can be right there by the campus. And a lot of times when Brother Lee shares about moving by a campus, he doesn't just mean universities. He's talking about elementary campuses, junior high campuses, high school campuses, community colleges, anywhere where you're burdened to shepherd and to bear fruit. You just move there. And we've been very encouraged by even some of the experience and fellowship of the saints in London, where or in Europe, where It's not a mass migration. It can only just be a few families, but that might be all the Lord needs, is a few burdened families moving right by a campus can be the way the Lord gains that campus. And so we just kind of felt like, you know, we just had the Lord's leading to stay in Atlanta, but we wanted to move closer to the campus. And I can definitely testify, I just finished a PhD program at Georgia Tech. I have four kids, and there are days I just have no capacity for that much of the church life. But I appreciate when you live that close to the campus, you don't have to make plans to see the saints, or you don't have to block out a couple of hours to go visit or to shepherd. You know, I always try to tell the students, here's my number, here's my address, come over anytime. I appreciate it if you tell me, but you don't have to, just come over. And that has been such a salvation to me. There have been years where we're very busy with, you know, both of us work and we have kids, but we always try to go to the welcome outings in the beginning of the semester and the celebration dinner at the end of the semester. And for me, sometimes that's the only contact I get with new ones. But every time I go out to, we always go out to this state park at the very beginning of the semester, and the club invites all the families and the new ones that they've been contacting. And we always try to go with our four kids. And I always have a goal. I want to get the number of at least one new one. I want one freshman. I want to have a connection with one new one, and I want to get their number and have them get my number, because then I have someone I can text to invite to our home meeting. And I feel like the Lord just blesses that. You know, sometimes all I get is a number or two, but then they just start to respond. And at celebration meetings, I've stood up and I've just said, you know, I'm Emily Rogers, here's my number, call me if you want to come over for dinner. And I feel like that's been a real salvation. I don't have to go find the fish come find me. And sometimes I feel like I don't have any more capacity, I'm tapped out, I can't do anything, I can't go anywhere, but then someone shows up and you realize, no, you still have a little bit of capacity. And I also really feel like that's been such an encouragement to keep contacting the Lord in the morning, to keep exercising, because you never know when a new one or a hungry one will show up and you need food to feed them. And they appreciate the physical food, but it's been so good to realize I'm not just enjoying the Lord for myself, I'm enjoying the Lord for all these new ones that might show up at my doorstep at any moment. Because if I'm not enjoying the Lord, and if I'm not helping to shepherd in whatever little capacity I can, then there is no point for us to be there. But I feel like the whole point for us to be there, to live in a small house, to live in a place, you know, that we regularly get crime reports about, you know, if we're not participating in the shepherding in whatever little way we can, then our being there is meaningless. So I feel like also, you know, we just... Don't discount also where you are, you know. So I feel like where we are, it just opens the door for, you know, we have students, we live close enough to the campus where students can walk from their dorms to our house. We've had students call to ask if they can play with our kids. This past week on Lord's Day, we were having an early Thanksgiving, and I just texted all the students that were connected with to see if they wanted to come. And actually, three Georgia Tech students just from down the road just showed up. Mm-hmm. Two of them we knew, and they brought a friend. And I don't even know if their friend was saved, but it was so good to have them in our home. They could just walk over here. So I feel like it's been such a blessing just to be there when we don't have that much capacity to go out or to visit. I feel like just by planting yourself nearby a campus, then there is a way for the fish to come to you. So,
amen.
Before the brothers share, I just wanted to point out the URL on the board. You can actually just log in and sort of log your attendance for the time. https://tinyurl.com/tdc 2018 WSF or Working Saints Fellowship. So that'll just sort of tabulate how many saints we had. And there's just a couple little questions on a form. So if you wouldn't mind, that'd be helpful. Thank you.
Amen, saints. Should I be using this or it's okay? Okay. My name is Ted Williamson. I'm in the church in Atlanta. And I really don't fit this category of saints anymore. I just retired from my job last year. So I'm officially not a working saint. But I'm very burdened for this group of saints. And as one of the brothers pointed out, the working saints, it is really a reality that the working saints are the backbone of the Lord's recovery. And, you know, in my observation of the saints and of the churches, many times the young people are very active. The high school, the college students have a lot going on. They have college trainings and internships and college conferences. There's a robust church life for the college students and even the younger than college students. And they can be very active in the church life. And then you look at the older saints, at least in the locality where I am, faithful older saints who serve in the practical service day in, week out. When we have our prophesying meeting, often the first ones to prophesy are the older saints who've been around for 30 years, 40 years in the recovery. But it is conspicuously obvious that there is a group that is at least not fully employed in the church life. And it's the working saints. The ones who should be the backbone of the church life and should be bearing the bulk of the burden among the churches are somewhat retired. It's strange how very active as young people, active as older saints, but this period of time that we call working saints, often there is a kind of a retirement, a spiritual retirement that goes on. Or at least an underemployed situation among the working saints. And I tell you, I don't think this is an accident. I believe the enemy knows this as well, that this group is really the crucial and critical group in the Lord's recovery. The working saints. You know, we have a lot of blessings in the Lord's recovery. We've been blessed a lot. The Lord has blessed us with some wonderful factors in the Lord's recovery. One is, like we're enjoying this weekend, the word in the Lord's recovery is so rich. The word, the ministry is open to us. The word is open to us. There's no shortage with the word. No shortage in the ministry. Besides just the plethora of ways to get the ministry, the books, the electronically, songs, I mean, there's all kinds of ways to enter into the ministry. It's all in our hands. Besides that, we have such a oneness in the Lord's recovery. I mean, I've been in the church life since I was 8 years old, and in my years, I've never seen such a oneness among the churches. The blending really works, right? All the years of blending, and sure, certainly, as our brother shared this morning, we need more blending. But we have some blending that has resulted in a oneness. There's a oneness among the co-workers that is maybe unprecedented. There's a oneness and a blending among the leading brothers in the churches. Okay, we have a lot of positive things in the Lord's recovery. But if we have all of these positive things, saints, we have to ask ourselves a question. I've asked, why is the Lord's recovery not more prevailing in the United States? Why is it not? If we have the word, we have oneness, we have the riches, we don't have persecution in the United States to preach the gospel. We don't have persecution to practice the church life. All of this is so well laid out for us to flourish in the United States. Why have we not flourished? Why are there still too few churches? And why are churches so small? Well, I don't claim to be the expert to answer this, but I have considered this. I think it has to do with the working saints, as being one factor at least. That the working saints, there is a great, great temptation when you're working. I know. I worked for 28 years. And I know there's a great temptation. Everything that you will give to your job, they will take. Every hour you give them, they'll take two. There's no limit to what you can give to your profession. And frankly, the tide of the age is such that there's no limit to what you can give to your family, to your children, to practices and sports and music and all that. It goes on and on and on. And eventually, what does that do to a person? Your job is demanding everything from you. Your family's demanding everything from you. Well, what's left over for the church life? Go to church on Sunday morning? And so for the next 30 years, you're around, you're positive, you're not against it, but the consecration isn't there. And brothers and sisters, I just say this because I know this from my own experience. Unless we reconsider our living and reconsider, what are we doing here? What is our family for? What is our job for? You know, when I was actually in high school, Brother Lee shared the messages from Genesis about the pillar builders. And that was a big wake-up call in the Lord's recovery, because at that time, I remember a lot of the brothers, you know the stories. They were pool cleaners and yard maintenance guys, and because they wanted to be available for the trainings and the conferences, and this was the heart of the brothers. And Brother Lee said, no, you need to get the best education. You need to get the best education, the best training the world has to offer you, and then lay it at the Lord's feet. Well, we got the first part of it. A lot of brothers got educated. They got the best jobs. But maybe we didn't take the last part of his fellowship and then lay it down and let our tyrannian father die. We forgot that part of it. And we ended up with good jobs, making lots of money, with a nice house, and good family and children, living the American dream. And the Lord's house lies waste. Brothers and sisters, I realize we're probably here talking to the choir, so to speak. Minoru mentioned that earlier in some fellowship. Because if you're at this conference, you paid a price to be here, and if you're here in this meeting today, I'm sure you paid a price to be here as well. But brothers and sisters, this group of saints in the Lord's recovery must reconsider your living. This is just my feeling. You must reconsider, what are you living for? What is your family for? What is your job for? Between a husband and wife, to sit down and, sometimes we get so busy and the world is spinning so fast around us, you never stop and say, wait a minute. Is this the life we signed up for? We're running to practices, we're running to soccer and piano and this and that and working overtime. We can't make the prayer meeting. We certainly can't serve on Saturday morning. We can't get to the ministry meeting because we just have too many. Is that the life that we dreamed about when we were in college? I don't think so. I just don't think that that is what we were aspiring to. We were aspiring to live to the Lord. We were aspiring to give everything to the Lord. We had patterns in front of us who did that, who gave everything to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I just hope as a response, at least, you would reconsider your living today before the Lord in a very sober-minded way. How am I spending my time? Time, I know when you're young, it doesn't seem like it, but time is fleeting. The years start clicking by, and pretty soon you'll be saying, I retired last year. Brothers and sisters, consider your participation in the church life, your function in the church life, your participation in the church meetings. I don't want to ask, I won't ask, but I'd like to know how many are in the prayer meeting of the church every week. Brothers and sisters, this is not a small thing. This is where the church is doing battle and fighting for the Lord's interest on the earth. Well, I'll just end with this because I know Minoru has some feeling. In a very practical way to respond, certainly to reconsider and reconsecrate your life to the Lord and your family's life, your children's life to the Lord. But on top of that, saints, consider this. Migration is a wonderful way to have a restart. It is a wonderful way to go from underemployed to fully employed overnight. Is to migrate to a new city, and I believe in the coming year even, and coming years, there's going to be more opportunities for migration to good cities, good places to live and raise families, but good places to go fishing, good places to gain people. And some of us, you're young, but you're already set, settled, and occupied. You're already immovable. Don't become immovable. Be available to the Lord's move. Be available to migrate, to be uprooted, to leave all the things that are occupying you and have a restart where you're moving there not to make money. Yes, you'll find a job. You'll get a job. You're moving there for the Lord's interest. There are two ways to move. You can move for a better job, or you can move for the Lord's interest. And many of us have no qualms about moving for a better job. Boy, of course, that makes total sense. Move to start the church in another city? Why would I do that? I can't do that. I have a job. I have kids. I have family. Brothers and sisters, well, in the beginning it was not so. That's not our history. That's not where we came from. That wasn't the generation that I saw ahead of me. My parents, we migrated. My dad never met a migration he wasn't burdened for. We moved and moved and moved. And I went to a different school every year of my life until 11th grade. Not one move was for a better job. Not one move was for a better house. Not one move was for better schools. It was for the Lord's move. That's our history. That's my history, but that's your history as well. Brothers and sisters, don't let this age suck you in. Don't let it occupy you. The tide of this age is strong one way. We are against the tide. We're not living here to make more money. We're not living that our kids would have every single perk available to them. That's not what our life is about. We are here for the Lord's recovery. We're here for His interest on the earth. And there's a battle for you at this stage of your life. Amen.
I'd just like to tell you that, wow, it's a lot of echo. Let me draw a graph up in this board. By drawing this, I think the burden will be quite explicit. And I'm talking about, right now, United States of America, our country. So you couldn't see here, so you have to draw there. 1963, the year when the recovery started in LA, just roughly, we have 30 people, 30 saints, that's it. Now there's some older saints in San Francisco, New York, but that's where Witness Lee chose to begin the work of the recovery with his ministry in LA. And then mid-70s, I'm gonna say 1975, okay? 4,000 people, 4,500 people. Again, don't quote me, roughly. This represents a 52% annual compound rate of increase, okay? That means a lot. Then from 1975 to 1985, we did have a pretty official census. This number is dependable. It's 8,500 saints. However, our rate of increase from there to here dropped from 52% to 6%. That's our annual compounded rate of growth. You with me? Okay. I'm going to fast forward to today, right here, 2018. Our number in the USA is 25,000, roughly. 25,000. Now, you may be quite happy about this, but let me connect these two points. And I can tell you this rate of increase is 3.7% annual rate of growth. At 3.7%, it's almost a flat line, so you can, the way I drew it. Now, imagine if from 63 to 75, those 12 years, that trajectory continued, okay? And I haven't done it. You can easily do it. Today, in the Lord's recovery, we will literally have hundreds and thousands of saints, maybe 500,000, if we keep doing that. You say, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. From 75 to 85, we had our first major rebellion. The rebellion stopped us dead in our tracks as far as our growth, prevailing growth, is concerned. And so that sort of took the heart out. And not only so, it took away a lot of younger generation that were brought in, came in the late 60s and the early 70s. They were actually blown out. And not only so, in those years, mid-70s, a torrent of opposition began from the direction of Christendom against us, to the point that we became part of a cult. We were stigmatized as a cult. You know, recently they're talking about Jim Jones, People's Temple. Some older people remember what that was. That's about 900 people in Guyana, all drank cyanide Kool-Aid, and that was a massacre, basically, all right? That's Jim Jones People's Temple, this crazy guy from Berkeley. And one of the first books that came out to oppose us is called The Mind Benders. There's a book called The Mind Benders. If I remember correctly, we were in there. Witness Lee and the local church was in there. If I remember correctly, we were put back to back with Jim Jones. Like, so chapter 16 is Jim Jones, chapter 17 is Witness Lee and the local church. We were categorized amongst the worst of the real cults. And so one is a rebellion from inside, one is a attack from without. So that caused our growth to drop to 6%. Actually, basically, we were on a losing trend. From 1985 until today, you say 25,000 saints in the recovery, we praise the Lord. Well, I praise the Lord too, all right? The 25,000 saints. But my dear brothers and sisters, I like to tell you that basically from 85 to this year, our growth rate has been just anemic, to say the best. Now, lest we would be totally disheartened by what I'm talking about, in these years, certain things did happen in a positive way that this chart may not show you. Number one, starting in the 80s, we begin to do a work among the Chinese speaking. So we brought in a whole lot of Chinese speaking. Actually, that 6%. And even these 3.7%, a lot actually were Asians that we brought in. So today, in the recovery in this country, there are a lot of Asian saints, Chinese-speaking saints. They're from that era, beginning from that era. I'm not making a value judgment on that, okay? Like, we don't like this kind of people, that kind of people. I just want to tell you history. Number two, in 1991, we went to Russia under the leading of the ministry. And through that, today, there are 4,000 to 5,000 saints in Russia. Those are the Caucasians there, real Caucasians. And 600 churches. And of course, that was a joint exercise between not only United States, but also saints from Taiwan. But we gave out a lot in the U.S. You may say that is a fruit of the labor, except that is not the United States, that is Russia. It was of the Lord's timing, because today the window has closed, by the way, in Russia. Then secondly, I would say, what happened was, following that, the work in Europe began. You know, from that time on until today. So Eastern Europe, starting even with Poland and some of the other places, then they went to England. We based ourselves in London. And then from there, step by step, continental Europe, France and Scandinavian countries, Spain, Portugal, Italy, and now Germany. You know, today, you know, we just began our real hard labor in Germany about 3 years ago, no more than that. Today, there are 650 saints in Germany and going up. And every day, almost like I'm receiving reports about how open the Germans are, especially the young people. There's a new church in Munich now, right? And they are just gaining the German young people from the city and from the campuses. And I believe they will keep gaining them more and more. We have a training blending center there. So these are all, and today in Europe, there are also roughly about 4,000 saints. with so many churches. So you may say, well, why don't we add them to here? Well, I guess if we cheat, we can do that. But I don't want to do that. I want to just talk about us in this country. We have been here since 1963 to 2018, 55 years, am I right? 55 years, that's a long time. Really, without all these things happening, today, the Lord's recovery, numerically at least, should be at least 10 times. At least 10 times more than, 10 multiple, huh? You know, 250,000 saints, easy, really easy. And I cannot even imagine how many churches there would be. Today, I think, max out, we have about 300 churches in the United States, maybe counting Canada. When if we have 250,000 saints, probably that number would be maybe not tenfold, but at least fivefold, am I right? We'll have 1,500 churches here. We would, really. And that would not be like dreamy, like something miraculous. It would just be a growth, you know, in a prevailing way. Now, I want to draw this for you so that you can see what is the present burden. I would like to tell you, brothers and sisters, in very, very direct terms, right now, the Lord's recovery in the USA, we have one major burden, and that is called increase. And I will not hesitate to say this. I'm not afraid to say this. I will tell you this is the burden. And I can tell you this with much assurance because this need of increase has started way back when, way back when. Therefore, from the 80s on into the 90s until he died, Brother Witness Lee, if you go and do the reading of the book, of the books, besides his own ministry, which has always, if I do a drawing of the ministry here, okay, that is not measured by numbers, but measured by just the Word of God growing up. I would say that the ministry is like this, okay? Off the charts. And so today we have the high peak of the divine revelation. Today we have wonderful, wonderful truth. You can imagine these riches, but that's just the ministry. I'm talking about the churches. So here we are today. Now, I have said this before. I'm not a kind of a here to make America great again, right? And do those kind of things. But I would like to tell you this much, that 55 years later, the reason for the Lord making the United States a base and a center of the Lord's recovery, that reason is still valid. In other words, that reason has not changed. 55 years later, the United States is still the leading nation country on this earth. And we know how important that is. All you need to do is go and read the book called The World Situation and God's Move. You'll find that if you study history with the four main nations that God used from the New Testament times, Roman Empire for the preaching of the gospel from the Lord's times and the apostles, number two, Germany at the time of Reformation to bring the thing, his recovery onwards, and then you have the Protestant Christianity, and then number three, England, country number three, that this gospel of grace was preached to actually the ends of the earth. And of course, you all know the story of the brethren that has brought they had the ministry of the age at that time, by the way, and how the Lord has used that to bring the truth to such a high place. And also even the beginning of the testimony of the body of Christ. The fourth country is this country, the USA. Young, a young, very young country, still about 250 years old. But under God's hand, since World War II especially, has emerged to be the leading nations until now. Now, very shortly, China is going to take over the USA in terms of its economic power, okay, just on the economics. It will. It has leapfrogged over Germany. It has leapfrogged over Japan. Now it's number two nation in the world, economically speaking. And it will soon jump over the USA if things go on the way it is. And it probably will happen soon. But that does not take away the importance, the critical importance of the United States of America in the world situation. You just imagine today there's no USA, what the globe would look like, what the global affairs will look like. This is really going to be a place I don't want to be around. This country, just like some of those other countries, was raised up by God for his move at this time. And this move, we believe, is the ultimate move of the Lord. And this country would be that ultimate country that God would use to carry out that move. That has not changed. Now, for that reason, the Lord's testimony in the United States of America must be strong. Spiritually, must be strong to match the outward situation. And so, for that strength to be there, number one, there has to be a powerful vitality of a testimony, all right, of the Lord's shining testimony. But I would also like to tell you, for that to happen, we have to have the numbers. The numbers of saints, the number of churches is very, very important. We must not dismiss that. And so I just have to wrap up. We don't have that much time, brothers and sisters. That's why I talk about your generation. I know there are a few older people here and a few Generation Xers here, even up here talking. But I must talk to you in this millennial generation. I like to tell you that you have a responsibility based on what I just said. David, it was ascribed to David in one of the messages in Acts. It says, David served God's purpose or God's will or God's counsel in his generation. And then he was died and he was buried. David, King David. That verse has always been very, very living to me. Not that I'm David, no way. But the point is, as he served God's purpose in his age and generation. So in every age, we need people who would do that. So my call to the millennial generation in the local churches, in the United States of America, is that you have a purpose to live at these times. You have a reason why you're this generation. We lost a lot in your previous generation. We are really thin. This is a fact. The brothers know who are in the churches. But that's history. That's history. You know, we're in Charlotte here. You know, this is where Christian Research Institute is based now. They are the first one to oppose us. Somebody wrote a tract called Evolution into God. Long before we talk about the High Peak, they were already maligning us, slandering us for teaching this kind of heresy that man would evolve to become God. No, man doesn't evolve to become God. Man gets saved and transformed and conformed, am I right, to the image of Christ to be God in life and nature. That is not a heresy. That is the Bible. But that, since that time, They have caused a lot of problems. And Brother Hank Hanegraaff, who is the president of that CRI, and Brother Paul Young, who sits always in that seat where you're sitting, brother. That's Brother Paul Young, not him, but he obviously sits there. He's one of the leaders in this organization. They're based in Charlotte, and they are the ones who wrote this magazine with the CRI magazine with this volume called We Were Wrong, publicly confessing and reassessing their criticism, their opposition actually to us, and publicly going out on a limb, sticking their necks out to say that the local churches are bona fide believers, real Christians. So today we don't even have that kind of opposition like we once had. And the fact of the matter is today the USA has 325 million people. When we start in 1963, we probably had barely 200 million or less. That's how many more in the population today in America. Brothers and sisters, I like to tell you, it is your turn. The burden is on your shoulders. As some of us, we rose up, we serve our generation. We're still serving, but we did a lot what we could by the Lord's mercy. I'd like to tell you that you must rise up to have meaning, to give meaning to your existence, to give meaning to your church life. It's not just about living a good church life, happy church life, just, you know, kind of existing or surviving. It is, as Brother Ted mentioned, and so many of these dear ones testify, we need all of this generation, you, to live unto the Lord for his purpose and serve the Lord in this generation of yours. Critically, we need the increase. So, I don't have the time. What time is it now? 5, right? 5 o'clock? We must have a hard stop here. Maybe I'll just stop right here. Just leaving you with this burden and all the fellowship that we have given today. Let's rise up. Amen? And I know you are. Many of you are. And I wish there are many more who can hear this word among us who are of this generation to bring in the increase, build up the Lord's testimony in a way that that is in our brother's heart, and that is in our heart. I'll sit down. My burden, my dream, my prayer is still before our brother died. He said, I hope to see, I pray for a new revival to come to us. Let me tell you, the first years, those 12 years, it was a bona fide classic Christian revival, church revival that we experienced. There's no reason, my brothers and sisters, that we should not experience another revival, except a greater one, a stronger one, a more powerful one, a more glorious one, because the glory of the latter house should be greater than the former one. That's what I'm looking for. Amen? So maybe we can stop here. Amen.
Well, saints, just a 1 minute conclusion here. You know, our brother has shared with us before, what is the difference between a move and a movement? A move is something that is personal. So I think our heart is that we would all take this matter to the Lord, to contact the Lord. You know, words that we heard in the testimony, blendable, vital, movable, all these things require us to go to the Lord to open to him. And may the Lord give us, really impress us concerning reconsidering our living and how we can participate in the Lord's ultimate move. Well, saints, the testimony, the sharing will be posted on livingtohim.com. And once you leave, please take a moment to still fill out the attendance sheet. We'd like to track this matter. Thanks, saints.